You're listening to Black Girl Blueprint.
Because Black girls did it first.
And honestly, better.
Period.
Period.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Black Girl Blueprint, your fave podcast for all the Gen Z Black Girl tea. My name's Lauren.
And my name is McKean, and thank you guys for tuning into today's episode.
Mm-hmm. It's been a long time.
It's been a minute.
We just had a lot going on.
Yeah.
We've been adulting. We've been taking the months in stride this year.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, and it's springtime now. What is time? What is adulting? And what is life?
A construct.
It's and so true.
A construct of who?
Capitalism. And the man. Well, that is the perfect segue. I know we're going to say this episode was about capitalism, but it's just so entrenched.
Just have to go in there.
You know, it's going to be about it anyway. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you know.
So, today we'll be talking about how capitalism, girl boss culture, grind, hustle culture, labor, working, getting a job, building your resume, LinkedIn, all of those things. Affect our day-to-day lives.
And, sure.
And then also, as a follow-up to our last episode, like, how do they meet and connect with the dreams that we have for ourselves and the desires that we have for how we spend our time?
Yeah. I think there's a nuanced conversation here about how capitalism just, is so entrenched in even how we think about ourselves and, like, our worth, our productivity, even, like, what we dream about, like, labor not being a big part of that, or, like, wanting to work, but also still wanting nice things, you know, or still, like, having to work to survive, just being the reality of the world that we live in. So how do we balance that with also protecting our peace, you know, with, like, wanting to live good quality lives, wanting to prioritize other things.
But
sometimes a job, you need a job
need
to
a
pay
job,
the bills.
Child.
You need
Literally.
And in this world, things are expensive too. And cost of living as a concept too. Like, things are just getting more and more expensive. And
also, I don't know if this is a real thing, but, like, the luxurification of everything.
That's been a very, like, constant trend.
Luxury skincare was not something for the masses before. Like, and now, like, I have access to it because the internet, and I want it.
No, true, but even
and
like
it
the
costs
soft
money.
Lifestyle, you know, that's a part of it as
Black
well, too.
Black girl luxury, like, how are these all desires and how are these all trends on the same internet that
is also a very anti-capitalist, or supposedly, and, like, what we see devalue. So
just where do they meet in IRL?
Exactly.
Like, that's
and
what we're
that's
see.
The conflict of what we want to get into, because there is, like, layers and nuance here. So we're gonna just unpack it all, peel it back,
all of it,
layer by layer, the underbelly, and get into it.
Yes, but first,
the read the room.
Yes,
you let them know.
You know what we do every episode: pop culture tea, real life tea, your life tea. Today we have some pop culture, like, Black girls have been winning.
Black girls have been doing so
black
great.
Black girls have been winning.
And, like, in every facet of society.
Yeah,
like, in the movies,
true.
In, like, I don't, just in every
Everything.
Area. We can.
Yeah.
We just do so well. Mm. We have to talk about our queen, our princess,
Miss Halle Bailey. I feel like the Bailey sisters have just guided this like, podcast, because when we started, they had dropped Ungodly Hour. And we were talking about it constantly.
Every episode.
And now we
and
got
now
solo albums.
We
got.
No, but real.
Sorry.
That was so funny. Anyway, carry on.
We got solo albums.
Yes.
We got movies.
And we got movies. And
movies,
was,
plural.
Movies, plural. Because it wasn't Chloe Bailey. Did you see the trailer for that church movie?
Yeah. But it did feel nostalgic.
That it does feel nostalgic. Did you watch Joyful Noise?
No.
That's
crazy. I know. With Dolly Parton?
Yeah.
It feels like that, yeah.
That was a moment.
It feels like a throwback, like, Disney movie. I have to watch it. We'll watch it and report back.
Yeah.
But Halle is in The Color Purple and
Little Mermaid
right now.
That's true.
Little Mermaid, number one movie in the world.
Oh, it's so
cute.
Good. I've seen it twice.
You saw it twice?
I've seen it twice.
I saw it once. I'm
going
to go back, though.
You should go back. Because, I don't know, part of your world just touched an emotional nerve for me that song has never really hit like that before.
Yeah, I used to love The Little Mermaid, but I was just like, this is something.
But this is, I felt her, like, desire so
to
heavily.
To do more,
like, dreams, her, like, you know, tenacity as well, too. The first Little Mermaid, I don't know, she wasn't eating. And Prince Eric
also. It felt like a silly
pretty.
Want of hers. Like,
exactly.
I think they really legitimized, like, what, not to make this intellectual.
No, a Disney intellectualize movie. It. In those layers.
But, like, they really made real what she, like, why, the why she wanted to get out of the water.
Exactly.
Like, get out of the water.
Halle Bailey said that in an interview. She was really? I think in the first Little Mermaid, because I think a critique of the first Little Mermaid was like, oh, she gives up her voice for a man, mm-hmm. you know? But in this one, Halle was just like, they're really focusing on, like, her desire to, like, live a different life and, like, follow her. And, like, the trinkets and her, like, it's not really about Prince Eric. Like, he's a fun little plus, but...
It really wasn't about him. I hated that. Like, that was the only scene I genuinely was like, why?
Why was he swinging?
And why was it so long?
Every minute it was long. He was belting. He did his little thing.
I know he studied Troy Bolton for that. I know he did.
He was giving musical theater. He was giving theater boy. But I liked him more than I liked the animated Prince Eric, I will say. And I think the way
maybe
that they...
Maybe it was the Black Mama. Spoiler alert.
First of all, it was the Black Mama.
The only spoiler
you can tell he was raised by a Black woman, basically. It's the vibe that he had. But I also, like, the way that they juxtapose him, like, being so obsessed with the ocean and her wanting to be land, I was like, I feel them more as a couple.
Yeah, they came together, like...
That's a lot more.
It was less random, like, the first boy that I see,
I was just like, who is this man? Mm-hmm. And they made him, like, kind. The dog was cute. He was brave. You know,
it was cute.
I was like, not for me personally.
It was cute.
In my ministry. But I'm like, for you, Halle.
Yeah, for her. For him. For them. Yes.
For them. I agree.
My only qualms.
Okay.
I have two.
Okay.
The first was the costuming.
I agree.
The hair, incredible. Hair and makeup killed it. Like,
but that little band on her hand?
The whole time. And then, like, she wore one dress the whole
dress.
Movie.
I agree. Did she do that in the animated one, too?
No, they gave her a few fits. Like, there was that purple dress I think they had her in the animated one when she goes to the party. Yeah. And it's like, they switched it up more.
Even her coming out of the water in that same ratty blue dress. I'm like, I'm like, did that float to sea?
There can be a magic fit.
She could have come in, like, a little gold dress out type
thing.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed in the costume. Okay, what's the other qualm?
The other qualm that I had was... Wait, what was it? Oh. Where were we in the world?
I think we were in the Caribbean.
I just was like... I liked the involvement of the West Indian people. And I actually thought Sebastian wasn't too bad, even though he was a Jamaican.
That was my qualm.
Oh, really?
It had to grow on me.
It was jarring
in the beginning, but as the lines got funnier, I was like, okay.
The writing was good. Felt like a Jamaican wrote it.
That's true. The little muttering, I was just like, that is a West Indian crap. Yeah.
Literally. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Awkwafina.
Scuttlebutt.
Anyways.
So silly.
We'll keep it moving.
We'll move along. But Halle Bailey,
Big Hearts,
go see it.
We're so
promo.
Proud.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Next on the list.
Janelle Monáe.
Okay. So Janelle Monáe.
Coming to save the summer.
Honestly, these are summer songs.
We had no songs of the summer.
Up until last week. That's so true. I was to listen to Renaissance.
Yeah,
like,
listen.
That's last summer.
Because she's touring. Like, she made herself have two summers.
No, that's so true. Oh, I love that for her.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that, but I'm like, she really planned
she
it.
Created, she,
it's another she Renaissance
it,
summer.
She dropped at the end of last summer just so we had, like, a little bit of time to, like, go out with it and then still wanted more.
Her mind. Wow, her mind.
Anyways,
it's crazy. Yeah. We'll talk about her in a second. Mm. But Janelle Monáe, I have always loved them. I've always been a huge Nah, well, maybe not huge, but I've always thought that they're great and talented. Sorry. I don't know why.
I appreciate the honesty. I had to pull that back a little bit.
I was really excited because of these summer bops. So if you don't know, Janelle Monáe's just recent album.
Mm-hmm.
It's called The Age of Pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's giving sexy.
It really is.
It's giving summer. It's giving we're by the pool.
Yeah.
It's giving we're having
lots of
sex. It's fun.
Yeah, there's like a lot of like Afrobeats.
Exactly.
Like Calypso.
Calypso is
reggae
the vibe
influence.
That I was feeling.
Yeah.
Mm. The songs are good. It's
really good. There's a few love songs on there.
Yeah.
There's like a lot of like bad bitch tracks.
There's like a good mix of things. Do you have songs? Can you name that you like?
No, because I just listened today.
Okay.
Oh, well, I liked Hot. It's like a 1 minute song.
That
one's
kind of funky.
Crazy.
Like, I like that one.
That was actually my favorite.
That was fun.
And then the one right next to it, right after, I can't remember what it's called, but that one was a banger. I remember I sent that to my friend.
That's fair. I listened to Lipstick Lover when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was fun. The music video also.
I've yet to watch. Can you believe? I saw all the clips everywhere. I meant to.
It was wonderful. I just had such fun time watching it. You know, well, part of the discourse as well, too, is that Janelle Monáe has been having her boobies out. Literally, and I've been a fan, personally. Titties to the wind. I'm like, let them free.
Why not?
It's a free the nipple summer.
We literally have almost died, like, as a country.
That's
and
what
as
I mean.
A world.
As a society, I'm like, let the boobs free, personally.
Literally, and someone was just like, there have been a few different takes that have just been so questionable. Like, there was this one podcast clip that people were circulating where the lady's like, oh, you have to, like, take your titties out to sell albums. That's and everyone's like, true. For the whole, like, 10 years of her career that she started, you know she was next up. Like,
in the suit and tie,
literally,
you know?
Only skin was neck and above.
Like. No, that's truly.
And also, both were crazy and both were amazing. We love them, so, like.
But they've also not been paying attention to not see, like, Janelle's, like, evolution.
Literally the vagina pants.
Right? I'm, like, from the dirty computer era where Tessa Thompson was coming to the womb and they were, listen, I'm, like, the sex has always been there and the vibe. I'm, like.
And the funk.
And the funk and the, like, just desire to be free. Like, even, like, pronouns-wise.
Yep.
Their pronouns is free ass.
This is, like, a beautiful evolution that we're witnessing.
Exactly.
And
I'm, like, so excited for their openness, the celebration of queerness, too. Mm-hmm. And I'm, like, this is Pride Month.
Yep.
Great
honestly,
time.
That's true. Right in time. Right before Juneteenth. Everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, Janelle,
that's beautiful. And it's like speaking of Renaissance, like, it really does mesh well. Like, they just feel like quintessential, like,
I
summer
agree.
Babbage free, like,
I agree.
Forget the rules, like, throw all out the window type albums.
It's
in a way
good.
That it's like what we do.
It's like, it's kind of like the vibe of Break My Soul, but more like with, like, the, like, idea of being like, we're just out there.
A laid
you know?
Back. Like,
exactly.
It's almost like. And I hate to say this because it's going to be, like, really reductive. Mm. But it is almost like if Beyonce meets Solange, musically.
I could see
like,
that a little
the
bit.
There's the laid-backness of the, like, Solange album and the, like.
Vocals-wise,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
right,
similarity.
It's, like, softer.
But then
it's,
also
like,
creative-wise.
Still funky
wise,
and, like,
funky.
Yeah.
I can see that.
I don't know.
That's
think
a fun
about
little
it.
Mix of
businesses.
You might
have different. I've been trying to see it my
whole
life somewhere. So
yeah. Janelle, go listen to the album.
Yeah.
You can send us a little DM. Tell me what you think.
Literally,
we're having real fun.
I would go
it.
See her.
I would totally go.
And I don't be feeling that.
Yeah.
So.
And so talented. Glass Onion also at the time I spent my New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Watching
too,
that.
Yeah.
Talent.
Wow.
Through the Breakers.
Honestly,
I'm a big fan.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Big fan, not huge.
No.
Big.
Yeah. Big,
big
fan.
Big. Nice.
Oh my god.
Okay. We can just get into the episode from here. So, today, like we said, we're talking about capitalism. But I think we should take it back to the time before capitalism was, like, so salient in our knowledge, you know? Like, before, I guess we really understood that jobs were money. I know in our last episode we talked a little bit about, like, dreams and, like, what our dreams were when we were earlier, but I think even the question of, like, asking kids so young, like, what their dream job is going to be kind of, like, the question itself means envisioning a future and hope that, like, that has this, like, type of, like, labor in it, or, like, you have to kind of pick from a select type of things. Or I'm just thinking about, like, my nephew recently had, like, come as, like, a, I guess, like, future career day at work.
Mm-hmm.
Not work. At school. At preschool. At work. Jesus. But most of the kids came as, like, doctors and lawyers and, like, dress up. And he came as, like, a paleontologist, I guess. And, like, his things were, like, astronaut. And they were, like, kind of, like, these, like, out-of-the-world-y types of things compared to, I was, like, these other kids were just doing the same, like, doctor, lawyer, like, these more, like, tangible money careers. I'm, like, from so early, too, I'm, like, where's the imagination? Like, he's just so into dinosaurs. And that's the only thing that matters. Is that he's, like, I love dinosaurs.
See.
He's not thinking about the fact that there's, like, I don't know if he's going to actually go to archaeology.
He literally said, what job?
He said, I like this.
Yeah.
But that is, we've talked about before, like, the way to make decisions, I guess, and, like, leading with just raw desires.
Yeah.
And that's, like, sweet to see, but then thinking about the way the capitalism stamps that out in some ways is really interesting.
Yeah, it is disheartening. And it's, like, and we've talked about this part before, so it's interesting now to see how it translates and, like, what remains. Because while your, like, desire to be a paleontologist might not stick with you, you still do stick within the frameworks that you're told are possible really early on. Like, and you try to keep imagining it. Like, I remember, like, for a while when I was little, I was like, I want to be a lawyer. So, like, now I guess my favorite classes are going to be, like, social studies and this one. Like, I wasn't constantly thinking about, like, a
but
job,
it kind of shapes
like, the things that you are interested in, and then you start to increasingly think about like your interests and how they meet, how you'll like live,
right?
Because you know, there's the pressure of like college, and then once you're approaching college, you're already starting to think of like after college, like what type of major am I going to take that leads me to a job, and like there is this just like path
security thing too. Also, I think for people who may have grown up with parents who might have been like thinking about money or like desiring security, like even like watching your parents struggle, or like I think about like the immigrant mentality as well too, of like, you know, like we're working really hard like to survive, but also you want to like get out of that in some degrees, and like that kind of that leads to a desire for security, like kind of young, you know, and it like factors into your decisions as you get older, at least starts to.
The feeling of that, like coupled with the fact that you might feel like you owe your family, whether it's like stuff that they've sacrificed for you, or like they literally need your financial support, like you have to work. That's, you know, like you don't, it very quickly becomes clear that like you have no option but at some point to like get a job and like live your life, which it's perhaps not unfair. It sucks.
It's a sad reality,
but
though.
It's true.
It always makes me really saddened to see whenever people's like desires are in direct conflict with like their like circumstance. You know, I think in a perfect world, I would love for everyone to be doing things that they love or like are happy to be doing, and that's just not a reality. And like that's just the world that we live in.
It's rare.
It's
like,
rare.
It's really a privilege to like be in a circumstance where you can afford to live the type of life you want without sacrificing
something else.
Anyways, I feel like it's interesting to think about it generationally. Like we said, we are probably the first generation of most of our families, if we're so lucky, to have more option than past ones, which we've talked about. And that's a lot of pressure, but it's also a luxury of, like, you know, like, my great-grandma was somebody's, like, maid and nanny. So that I could go to college, essentially, you know, I broadly, like my whole generation and my family. But now, like, okay, we've gone to college, and now it's like, okay, I have more choice, and I'm doing her wrong if I don't pursue them.
That's fair.
But then it's also like, how does that actually meet again with what your needs are? And I don't believe that she wanted to work.
She did not want to work.
She wanted to be some white family's nanny. It's not the Gen Z like distinguisher is not based on the desire.
I think we should outline this Gen Z distinguisher a little bit more too, because I think there is a generational thing here, and again, I don't think it's obviously that our ancestors did not want to be working as hard as they were, you know, so this is not a new thing to be like labor is unfair, but I think we do have, I think, a privilege in some senses in like just like the reality of the culture that we live in, but I think our mindsets also have shifted a little bit. I think there's post-pandemic, one, I think this, like, I don't dream of labor mentality. I guess even before that, millennials have been saying that Gen Z people just didn't want to work. But there is something in the rise of, like, social media and, like, easy money and technology. Or people
The types of jobs
available. Job, you know? And, like, you grow up seeing, like, YouTubers who are, like, just filming their lives and making millions. That, like, does something, I think, to what your concept of, like, you know, there's like this thing called the effort heuristic, basically, which might not necessarily apply as much here, but it basically means that you value something based on like how much work you have to put in to achieve it. If that makes sense. And I just think that there's been some just like destabilizing, I guess, in our like thought of like how much work we need to put in to, and what we expect to get
to
out
receive,
of it.
You know, like a return of investment.
Like we just don't have as high of a want, and I have an idea of what we need to do for that.
It's interesting. And it's not like, it's hard because it's like the internet does, I feel like it's different in the way that the people that our past generations used to see as aspirational, there were still celebrities and there still were like icons. But when you didn't know anything about them, often, they weren't as like visible. So it's it is true. It's like when you, these are people that are, their whole brands are based of like being your friend, but they're in a entirely different class than you,
in a tax
and
bracket.
You know, you're like now engaging every day with someone in the top 1% in the way that conflates things, and I don't actually think that's like a horrible thing, like
but there's
it's
something
not
parasocial
wrong.
About it
though,
about like you see this person as a peer but like you are not living the same life at all. But I even think about what we've witnessed change during our lifetimes, and it makes me really intrigued to see how things are going to change. But like, remember back in the day in like 2014, like, if your video went viral, like, you were going on Ellen, you know? Right. Like, you were getting some clout off of that. But now, like, when on TikTok, like, a bunch of videos get, like, millions of views. I don't know. Like, I feel like our concept of a celebrity has changed so much. And we're, like, veering a little bit from, like, the capitalism conversation a little bit, too. But even, I don't know. I think the thing that I do find interesting with the way that that peer dynamic develops is I think that there's something that capitalism does to the psyche in some ways, in the way that it becomes entrenched in how you, like, perceive yourself and your worth, and, like, it becomes tied to your productivity because, like, you have to work to live, and it's like, if I'm not working, then, like, do I deserve to live? And it's, like, not always that connected explicitly, but that is the general essence of what it is to exist within capitalism. But I think there's a part of that too that's, if you're not, like, about the bag and grinding, you're, like, lazy, you're, like, not doing something well. And then especially with that culture then of comparison, when you're seeing these people who are, like, peers but making so much money, you kind of feel like, I'm being lazy, like, I'm not working hard enough, like, we got the same 24 hours in the day, like, it's so unrealistic, you know, like, even that to a certain degree is kind of luck, like, I think about, like, the Charli D'Amelios of the world, I'm like, she was just dancing, like, midly, you know, like, she wasn't even dancing that well, and, like, they have just, like, a whole family affair thing going on now.
And it, I hear you, and it's tough because it's, like, there is this whole, even outside of just social media, I think maybe as a symptom of the fact that, like, with each generation, there has been a lot more choice in the type of work that you do, and specifically for women, like, the type of jobs you can have, and that's changing every day, like, and especially for Black women, like, you still see, like, Black women firsts, and that is still something that is marketed as not something that's, like, a failure of the system, but, like, of something that, like, you too can achieve and, like, should be desirable. So it's, like, paired with, so you see these girls on the internet becoming millionaires for dancing. And then you see Black women becoming, like, a rare select few that are, like, making business milestones, like Bozema St. John, or, like, ones that are becoming millionaires as CEOs of these corporate companies or something. And it's like, okay, like, they're making history and there is still history to be made. So it's the pressure of history, like, it's all these things, and it's like, then there is the thing you said about, like, the whole girl boss, like, you feel as though your pressures on your daily life, even before we even graduated college, like, the pressure of me in an internship and how I perform, like, this is going to reflect on me and, like, change my whole life if I don't, like, outperform everybody in this thing.
Also, the fact that the decisions that you're making so early in your life are supposed to determine your whole life trajectory, like, where you go to college.
It's,
you're
all
a baby making that decision.
It is, like, all of these pressures that are coming from all of these directions that then really make it hard to connect back to what do I actually, like, want. And then also, how am I spending my time? Like, there's something about capitalism and the structure of, like, work, of the, if you have a 9-to-5 or maybe worse, you have something that's, like, crazier, like, you work 8 hours, you have enough time to eat, maybe do one fun thing and go to bed,
but you're tired,
and, like, run errands occasionally, like, you don't have time to always think about, like, your the time that you have is spent, like, recovering from the work that you've done, and it makes it such that you don't actually have time to reflect on what you are doing every day, or to pursue something different if you're tired of what you've been doing. Like, you know how hard it is to find time to apply to jobs when you're in a job?
Or even have time for hobbies. Like, hobbies are out of the question. Even friends you don't really see for a while. And then I'm like, we're, like, living, but is this a life, you know? And, like, that becomes my question. And that's kind of, like, the concept there of, like, trying to protect your peace to a certain degree. But it's just like, don't break my soul.
And you don't have enough time to answer it. Unless you have the luxury of, like, being a rich kid that can take 2 gap years. And, like, tour the world.
Because we're working day to day to survive, to eat, to put a, like, roof over our heads.
You get max, like, 2 weeks off in a year. Like, oh, it's just sick. It's actually really sick.
It's not sustainable, also. It's what I'm thinking about. I'm just like, we're not meant to be living like this.
When you think about the fact that also, like, there used to be a 7-day work week, and they made the weekends, if there was enough time for people to spend money to keep the, like, economy in flow. It's also crazy because it's just like, I actually think there is a capitalist argument that, like, if people had more free time, they probably would actually spend even more. Like, we all would win, I guess.
I suppose.
We all, meaning, like, people in, like, the man.
The man. I don't know much about the economy.
Yeah, neither of us are economists.
I'm a print money advocate personally.
Just make more.
Because I'm like, you made the system anyway. I'm like, is it arbitrary? I'm like, and give me some.
That's damn. Right. Like, give everybody a little bit.
Did they actually?
When they give the money out.
Oh, yes. I do remember that. Yeah.
Well, we'll have to have that type of conversation with an actual pro that actually knows how the economy works.
I would like to learn a little bit more about the economy, just because I think I've just been kind of out of sight, out of mind. I'm just like, yeah. I have enough money to sustain myself. If I knew how the big system worked and all the churning parts, mm-hmm. it would break my brain, because I know myself. And I'm like, I'm going to get so obsessed with it, and it's going to be like dystopian. Like, I'm gonna feel like I'm in a matrix. Like, some things I'm just like, I gotta ignorance and
explicit. Yeah, I'm gonna be a passive.
Yeah, and I hate that it's the economy, because people keep telling me to invest too.
Oh my god,
that I'm supposed to do stocks. Don't get me started. Let's talk about that another time. Stocks. I cannot get into all of that.
No, you're right though. You're so right.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. But I think I've been reflecting on it, and I think the pandemic was a really big turning point, I think, in a lot of ways for this. I think people's priorities really. I think people just had more free time on their hands, honestly, to just sit and reflect and like think about what was important to them, like how they want to spend their time. It was also a scary time, you know, when you're confronted with so much death as well too. I think you think about things differently, and you see that it's also not that deep. This job also that you have been like breaking your soul for does not give a shit about you. They will drop you on a dime.
And right, the layoffs
were crazy, you know. And people were just like, I can't like, forget keep this. Doing this yeah, forget this you know this. It was a big like forget this vibe that I think is contributed to this.
You start to realize how much was obsolete, like traveling to the office, the amount of time that takes, and like how unnecessary in a lot of jobs that is, like, you even know
the work you do in a day, like remote work as well too. I'm just like, you're sending a couple emails a day, like, you know, and literally, like, it's not that serious. You know, like, we can have more free time.
This is never, I mean, like, unless you work in like certain industries, it's more likely than not dark, like the right, the type of seriousness that they approach work with is just made up. All the deadlines made up.
And like, you find that if they need to be pushed back, people, you'll live.
Push them.
Like, push them.
You gotta go.
No, truly.
It also just was like, on top of that, just like tiredness and exhaustion, it was just like sad.
It was sad.
It was just also like thinking about feelings more. Like, you had to spend more time with yourself. Sort of what you said, like the picking up of hobbies makes you think of like, the question of like, why wasn't I always doing stuff that I wanted to? Whether it was a longing for things you could no longer do, or picking up of things that you didn't do in the past, it was just like, okay, if capitalism wasn't part of this, like, how am I just gonna, like, how do I want to live?
And that was the question,
which you don't normally have enough time to ask yourself.
And then once you have the time to sit and think and you get the answers, that job's not a part of it. Literally. Like, I came to value seeing my friends so much more. I came to value, I don't know, just having the time, I think, to sit and think, honestly. Just, like, being able to be intentional with myself, too, and pursue things that brought me joy. I started my passion project during COVID, and then we started this podcast during it, because we had enough time to sit and be like, literally, we've got things to say.
Like, my thoughts are good.
And, like, I want to share them. I don't know, that pandemic was a big turning point, but I think it did change the way that I thought about capitalism and labor. Definitely. And that's influencing the way that my job search looks now. I'm just like, I think also the fact that all of my internships have been remote that I did in college as well too has been contributing to that as well. I'm like, there's something about, I guess, starting off my career kind of in a laid back type of field. I'm just like, child.
No, there definitely is a difference.
You can kill me if you try to come into the office.
There definitely is a difference, because I'd be like working with my coworkers that have been in their jobs for like 15 years. Jeez. And the way that we talk about, like, me coming to the office is rare. Yeah. And they talk about it as, like, an easy option that, like, we should engage a lot. And I'm always just like, what?
Think about what they've been living through, though. Yeah. Like, that was the norm for so many years. Commute every day, meetings all in person. Like, they didn't have, like, the sweatpants Zoom era. And that's all I know, you know? Yeah. So I'm like, for me to try and do something different. And I think that's the case maybe for a lot of young people, or for this next generation of workers. Mm-hmm. Like, people who are, like, graduating college now, they did classes online.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit.
It's crazy. I mean, it's like, I think this is worth getting into before we move to the, like, what if capitalism wasn't?
Yeah.
I think something that
this brings to mind is, like, generationally, how we even show up in the workplace following the pandemic, following, like, seeing all previous generations have a certain relationship with labor. Mm-hmm. I think the way that Gen Z shows up at work is really interesting, and mm-hmm. it's obviously a topic for debate a lot. Mm-hmm. Something that millennials, as we mentioned, millennials and beyond will say, like, people don't want to work. Some study just came out about, like, the Gen Z will quit jobs super quickly.
Yeah, the amount of time that you spend in a job for our generation is a lot less than the previous ones. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's worth talking about if we think the rumors are true. Mm-hmm. Not only if they're true about Gen Z not wanting to work, but also if they're justified.
Fair.
And is there a line? Mm. Because, like, for me, I actually, and maybe, like you said, I am a Capricorn, but
I think
there is an extent to which I admire, like, work ethic in someone, and also, like, have a desire to build it within myself.
Fair.
But, and I can't blame the girls that don't. Yeah. I can't blame the girls that don't want to work. Yeah. And I don't want to work either, but I also was, like, some days, like, when I had a 2-month period, sorry, this is, like, a rant, but it's going to have a point.
I believe you.
I had, like, a 2-month period where I wasn't working last year, and it was amazing, but I also was kind of just, like,
loopy. Literally, it's,
like,
okay,
like, I should do something, like, there's something that should be measurable.
Yeah.
But anyways, I say that all to say, I wonder if there are circumstances in which the rumors are true. What Kim Kardashian said was right, the girls don't want to work anymore. And it's maybe not always justified.
Okay.
And that, like, I've heard a lot of stories of just, like, friends of mine who have jobs. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's like, your job, yes, is just a job, but it's also like, your job affects other people's time.
Yeah.
And, like, when you have a manager and you're doing sloppy work and your manager has to, like, do everything behind you, you're now, like, taking away from their quality of life because it's probably taking more time. Because
now they have to go and do their...
Yeah.
No, that's just...
So that's kind of where I'm just like, I've seen Gen Z in circumstances in which they've been acute. Some of us have been accused of, like, being lazy, in which I do think it's true, and it's actually detrimental, and, like, it's selfish.
No, I get what you're saying.
Like, you know, like,
you're just being generally inconsiderate in that point.
And I'm just kind of like, is there a line? Mm-hmm. What is the line?
Okay.
How do you balance having a job? Because as we've identified, it's kind of a necessity unless you come from really particular circumstances or take really particular routes.
Yeah, fair.
Meaning, like, you get a sugar daddy or something, because I don't know how else you're going to do it.
I've seen the girls out
which,
there.
Like, no shame.
And we love.
Tell
we
us
stan.
How.
No, tell us.
Tell us how.
No, but that's real.
No, it's, you know what I mean?
Like, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, I think the rumors are true, one. I think I've seen the study that you're talking about. I think we definitely are higher turnover. Like, people used to stay in jobs that they hated for, like, 30, 40 years. Gen Z's like, if I'm not happy, I'm going to leave. Like, that's part of their, like, culture of individualism, I think, that Gen Z has, and, like, protecting the peace. Like, I think we're a lot more selfish than previous generations.
In ways that we should be.
And some ways that we should be. And, like, less willing to, like, compromise and self-sacrifice. Like, if a boss is treating us shitty, we're gonna be like, I don't deserve that. And, like, dip out in a way that maybe some previous generations would have felt more inclined, like, they had to stay. Again, it could have just been for the simple fact of not having the plethora of options around, or, like, accessibility to know that there are other opportunities out there. But this line that you're talking about is very, very real. And I think, but there are just some people, I think that that is not a Gen Z specific thing. I think I would like to think that this conversation, and when people say I don't dream of labor, they are talking about, like, fundamentally our lives should not be us exchanging labor for survival.
Yeah.
You know, like, that should not be what it is. But there are some people who are just, like, are lazy and are, and they take this to the extreme.
Yeah.
There were some, also some other people who were using this I don't dream of labor to, like, it was, like, a TikTok trend for a while, and they were, like, posting pictures of their, like, luxury type of, like, vacations, and I'm like, you're missing the point, like, entirely, and you're making this capitalistic, and you're being counterintuitive. Yes, that's yes,
because it's like there, and then I think it's broader than just, sorry, I hope I didn't
go. No, go ahead.
I think it's broader than just, like, work.
Yeah.
It's also something about, like, and this reminds me of our first episode, manifesting.
Yeah, first.
Where it's like, there is an instant reward desire
that,
like, work doesn't have to be all consuming, but it also might not always be free of challenge.
Yeah.
And, like,
challenge can be good. Challenge is where you grow.
Yeah.
And some, like, people are content and complacent.
Sometimes work can actually make you a better person.
Yeah,
I can name a lot of people that need to work.
Fair.
Honestly, and that's sick. And this is a really hot take, maybe, but
it's a hot take, but I think this to me also connects to what you were saying about not having anything to do and kind of like just feeling, I think the issue comes when the productivity becomes associated with your self-worth. Like, you are still worthy as a person. You can just sit around and just sit there and exist, and like, you have done your due diligence for the day. Like, existing is enough, you know? But there is something, there's that like gratification, I guess, for like seeing the targets of like moving. There's like progress. I feel good when I do things. I feel good when I'm productive, even if it's not this job that I hate, though. Right, like, it could be a hobby. Else, it could be hanging out with my friends. I do need to do something. If I lie in bed all day, I'll feel strange. But it doesn't have to be connected with like labor, and like specifically labor that is inequitable. I think that's part of this like conversation too. Like, it is those like bosses who are like taking advantage of you in a lot of ways. Oh my God, your labor's not being, you know, I think about, like, I've been thinking a lot more about service workers, especially. I saw this exhibit in the Whitney. I wish I could remember the name, but it was about, like, just, like, a lot of, like, service workers, like, UPS delivery people, like, just, and, I don't know, other types of service workers, but they were basically talking just, like, about their experiences, and, like, they had dreams, too, and, like, there was, like, a video portion of it, and someone was talking about how they, like, wanted to make films, and, like, dream, but, like, they have to, like, do UPS to make money, and I'm, like, things like that make me really sad, because I'm, like, that's the reality, you know? Like, that is just what it is to be alive, and I hate to see, like, dreams not be able to be fruition, like, come to fruition because of that. But, yeah, like, the people, you know?
It's
like,
tough. It's yeah, I hear you. It's all, like, it's all relative, and it really is all circumstantial. But, I just wanted to hear the thoughts because I've heard, I have, like, a friend of mine who is a millennial and a manager. She told me of a story that's of someone Gen Z that she hired, and, like, it just was so unprofessional. Like, it was so unprofessional and, like, self-serving from the jump, where it was just, like, that's, you know, crazy. She committed to doing three, you know, she committed in the hiring process, like, I'm gonna work Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then come the first Monday was like, actually, no, I only want to work Thursday, Fridays now, and like, you didn't tell me that, like, I needed to clarify that. That's and that is a very like one person thing, but I also have heard, I don't know, I just think some girls are like getting that? A little bit confused because I'm just like, come on, you guys,
pull back the reins a little bit.
Life. Exactly. I don't know. That's like, all I want to say.
It's also nice to be good at things. I personally enjoy being good at things and doing my job well, but I've always been a work smarter, not harder person.
Right.
So I will do the bare minimum
and still be good at
but
it.
But I will make sure that I'm submitting quality work, but I will not be working harder and overtime than I have to.
And to be clear, I'm not trying to co-opt the man's message. So I do think there's a lot of pressure at the end of the day to like do more than you need and to agree to things you don't want in that act against the things that you actually do want for yourself. And that's wrong. So ultimately, find your balance. Still find things that allow you to grow if you're going to have to make money doing jobs, if that's what you want. But, like, just do what you want and be a good person. At the end of the day, that's about it. That's all we owe nobody.
I feel like being a good person is come to me. I know it's, like, a privilege for that to feel like a fundamental, but at the end of the day, it is, like, desire to, like, spend time with people I love, like, connection. I feel like personal connection is everything, you know? Like, when it really comes down to it, like, all you have is, like, the people you've touched and, like, interacted with, and I've come to just prioritize that a lot more, so I like make time for it when I can. And we are gonna like wrap this up with just our thoughts, like a little bit about what we would like our lives to look like if we didn't have to work, and like capitalism. And I think just the thing that's most important to me is I love like freedom to be able to choose. Like, I would like independence is really important to me. I love to just like bop around and like travel around and like just be able to like live on a whim. I think that I'm as someone who like is on a visa in this country, I just think that like capitalism and like having a job and that security is like something that's very important to me.
Yeah,
and I would feel so much freer if I didn't have to worry about things like that.
Agreed.
When I made decisions, and that would be lovely.
I hear you. What I want outside of capitalism for myself is, I second a lot of what you said. I think the flexibility of like not being tied to such a rigid calendar ever would be a luxury. Like, to have your time truly be your own to dictate what you do and when seems like a dream. That like, you know, literally, it is a dream of mine. And, like, it literally is a dream, like, it's hard to fathom. I think also, like, community and, like, something that is self-sustained. And, like, I'm thinking of, I think I've talked about this before, but, like, I was just in Barbados not too long ago, and I was thinking about, like, one, my grandma, like, grows all the food that she eats, and what she doesn't grow, one of her neighbors grows, and they, like, exchange it with each other. That's and, beautiful. Like, someone is coming to, like, drop off stuff just because, and, like, you know, everyone that she has in her house, whether it's the repairman or whether it's, like, she needs a ride somewhere, like, that it's all connection familiar, you know? It's just, like, somebody that you know. Yeah. It's not, you're not, she engages so few corporations that it's, like, amazing.
Yeah.
And I, honestly, that would,
like, I would love that.
Yeah, it just seems like, you know, like, my life is, I have everything that I need. Mm-hmm. Feeling as though you have everything that you need within reach and not having to, like, I don't know, to give your money. I mean, this is now not outside of capitalism, but, like, even within capitalism, a life that I want to live is one in which I feel like I have choice of where I spend my money and to whom and, like, what it contributes to. Like, we have so little choice. You can't buy body wash without engaging a company that probably is really, like,
has
terrible practices. Yeah. You know? So, like, it would just be nice to, like,
not have to worry about
my whole life sustained by farmers markets. Like, everything, you know? It's so just, like, carpooling and, like, all of those things. That's nice.
But I think what you said about having what you need and that being enough, like, that's such a beautiful feeling to be sustained and satisfied and not to, like, be craving for more, like, have the external desire that you should be craving more, basically, you know, like, to just feel content, literally,
like, peace, I have it all,
happiness, I've got it, a connection,
and sometimes beautiful. I feel that way now, which is really nice in a luxury, but it's like I couldn't if I don't have this job, so
yeah, that's so true. So it's all connected.
It really is all relative, but
where we come back to at the end of this episode, there's a lot of layers in the
right, still got work in the morning.
We literally still got work in the morning. And I'm also looking for a job. You don't know anybody's hiring.
Yeah.
So let me know.
Hiring your girl. She does podcasting, she does blogging, she does everything. Sustainability. She's your go-to.
So true. Thank you for that pitch. I appreciate you. Yeah. Capricorn Queen. Okay.
All right.
Final question.
Let's wrap it up.
What's bringing us joy?
Hmm.
Do you
want to
go first?
Yeah. NYC summer about to start.
So true.
Everything is about to be amazing. Yeah. Like, I'm about to blow all my money.
I agree.
Blow all your money season is underway. But all, like,
the experiences. Yeah, exactly. The experiences I've come to tell myself are always worth it. And I'll take it.
And my little cousin is coming next weekend from Sweden. Two of them. Little cousins. And they've never been to New York City before. The only place they've been in the U.S. is Massachusetts.
That's crazy.
So I'm, like, about to change their lives. And also, like, change my life because I'm so excited. Like, I just been thinking of all the, like, touristy shit, like, we're going to
take
them
everywhere.
Also, they're biracial. And, like, they live in Sweden. So I have to show them black things. They're coming on Juneteenth weekend, like, to New York. So I feel a lot of, like, pressure.
Wait, how old are they?
13 and 15. The girl's 13, the boy's 15.
Okay, I think that's
so fun. Yeah, I'm just like,
Take them out.
I'm so excited about it. So I've just been making the itinerary. They're coming later this week. So.
Okay, love that.
Yeah, that's what's bringing me joy in advance.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I also have a joy in advance. I'm going to Eleuthera in the Bahamas this weekend. Well, I'm going for 2 weeks, but I'm leaving this weekend. And I'm going to be doing a summer camp there for girls 11 to 16. It'll be very fun. They're going to learn poetry, photography, they're gonna snorkel in their environment. It's all about, like, environmental storytelling, and they're gonna create projects of their own, like poems and short stories and things about their environment and environmental justice and climate change. So it'll be very fun. I'm excited to be home. I'm excited it's the summer. You know, I'm excited to be swimming. I might get my free diving certification, which will be fun. Yeah, I'm just feeling good.
Summertime.
Feeling good. I had some good watermelon yesterday.
Summertime, really living juicy. Is easy.
Do you remember? One more thing. Do you remember when I said I didn't like watermelon?
Oh, I really do remember that.
That was blasphemous. I am so sorry.
Did you not try it?
I think I only ever had bad watermelon. Like, you know when
the pale ones?
Yeah, like the pale ones.
Yeah, that would do it. Because bad watermelon is something else.
Bad watermelon was just like, it just tasted like the rind, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I don't see that.
Do you have that deep red?
I got that deep red, juicy drip. It was wonderful. I had a great
time. I'm, like, witnessing growth in real time on this podcast.
No, truly, I've come such a long way. I don't remember what season that was. Season 2, maybe.
It was a while ago.
It was a minute ago. I've come a long way.
Well, anyway, on that note.
On that note, that's all that we have for you guys today. Thank you so, so much for tuning in.
Yes, long overdue episode, but like feeling timely once again, as always.
So always timely.
Yeah, hope you guys loved it. In the meantime, keep up with us on all of the socials.
Absolutely.
On TikTok at Black Girl Blueprint, on Instagram at Black Girl Blueprint, on Twitter at B Girl Blueprint.
Absolutely.
And
if you like this episode, you can let us know by subscribing. You can leave us a review, rate us 5 stars.
Yeah.
And also DM us. We love to get messages from you all. It like always makes our day. We like screenshots it to each other.
Literally.
And we discuss.
Like, oh my god, someone actually listens to us talk. Like,
we always forget that, but there's so many listeners.
Yeah. Hey guys.
I love our little community. Yeah, it's wonderful. And we will see you all next time.
Yeah, okay. See you next time.
See you next time. Bye.